Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Now is the time to accelerate innovation. T-Mobile for Business is powering Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix operations and epic fan experiences with secure, reliable 5G connectivity. Because an event this big and this fast deserves a network that can set the pace. See what our 5G advanced network solutions can do for your business at T-Mobile.com/now. View 5G device, coverage, and access details at T-Mobile.com.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Finding creative new ways to piss off Sessler.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, joined in a room filled with some heroes, Greg Rosenthal, and yes, Mark Sessler. Mark, we're starting about 17 minutes later than intended.
18
minutes. It just turned 18. We started at 17, though, so it's 17, and I understand that does piss you off. Apologies, sir.
Apology taken, accepted. I'm not that annoyed by it. You can see it coming from a mile away.
Right.
It used to be a whole thing when our schedules were a little tighter back in Culver City, and Wes and Mark, and it would be like a conversation before the podcast. And Wes, as the money drop indicated, would delight in Mark getting increasingly upset, although he would get upset
the thing is,
he was on your corner.
I was not on an island on that one. Wes and I very much... time matters to us. Punctuality is important to us. And we were linked at the hip on that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes I feel maligned in that department because...
just accept it.
That department.
I view myself as the host of this program.
Well, that's accurate.
While you're doing your little build-up for segments and you're studying, I have to do that. But then I also have to do all the other elements... that go into building out a program, like working with... how long have we been talking building out the show today, for instance?
Minutes. Many minutes.
Oh, he buried you there.
I technically do not disagree with
Justin,
your point.
Were we not in contact all throughout the morning?
Oh, that's true, yes. Since about 9 a.m.
Buried Dan in a big... sure, but you can... It's also in your nature. That's okay.
It's in my nature to try to put together the best show possible.
But I'm saying if it's not podcast related, it's in your nature to maybe be a little late too. It's just part of the package. I remember when we first started, and those were dark days in some ways, looking back. But
when you were the boss, yes, those were not
early
good days.
Early news desk days. There was it was Hansis o'clock. You weren't expecting him to be punching in at 9 a.m. It'd be like 9:07.
Well, if you're gonna bring that up, you could talk about Chris Wessling o'clock too, which sometimes is the next day.
There was no clock.
Well, yeah, we have talked.
Greg
about that.
Infamously told me during one of our last, subject and boss meetings was that I began as his easiest employee and finished as his most tough to deal with.
Yeah, though,
so it's not all on you, and I also appreciate.
If you want the truth, you don't just go to the Zeus.
No, I appreciate that you put your heart into preparing for the program, Dan.
I back down not even a little bit on this. I have no regrets. Like, today is a good show. Today is going to be a really fun show. People are going to enjoy the show, and a lot of it is going to go back to those extra 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you got to get it right. You don't take it out of the oven, Sessler, just because...
I know, but this is...
Just because it's dinner. Dinner is served at 6 p.m. No, sometimes dinner has to be 6:17.
This is becoming framed as if I have a major issue where all I've said verbally is that I support the effort that you put into the show.
Doug Boat's got a point. We're back in the studios this week. Training camp's getting rolling. We're starting to cook. It's almost like...
I have a point, too.
We are... we're just husks... who try to make meaning out of our lives when it's not the NFL season. Ooh, family and outside things. But now that it's training camp and we're being plugged back into the machine, we feel truly alive because we only feel alive when the microphone is on.
All right. Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, that's. I don't even think Mark actually said that, but that is.
Greg
that
spoke
is accurate.
For all of us there, apparently.
That was me. That was out loud.
What? I will speak for all of us in thanking the people of The Guardian, a British daily newspaper. I think it's kind of a big publication.
Yes.
Over yonder.
And it was also written by
a trenchant source of news.
It was written by Ali Connolly, who's a great analyst over there too. Now working for Gridiron, who we're friends with the people
what
there.
What is
too.
It? What did Ali? Greg is so tight; he doesn't refer to the man by his pen name, Oliver Connolly.
Oh, I didn't know
it's
that.
Ali Connolly, ranking the NFL's best analysts.
I've never met him though, or spoken with him, but I've heard him on podcasts.
And guess who comes in at number 7? The boys of Around the NFL. Should I read this?
Oh, yeah.
Should I read it?
Please.
I should read it. You cannot separate the three main hosts of the Around the NFL podcast and TV vehicle. Unless it's who's planning the show in
all
the
right.
morning.
All right, for John.
Blending humor, analysis, and ruthless honesty, the trio have built a true one-stop shop for fans. The show is the number one NFL podcast in the UK, drawing fans to the circus tent with mirth before offering keen-eyed observations and updates on the league at large. It wouldn't be an overstatement to say that the show has done more for the growth of the game internationally than the league sending a ropey Jaguars team to London every fall. Hit it again, Justin! Number 7! How are we number 7 with that type of write-up?
I know, that was, the write-up is incredible. I love to think it's true. The way that write-up ended, I was like, that should be a number 1 write-up ending.
Right!
But I think we need to send that along to the Shadowy League people.
I'll take it. Yeah, our friends at Sky Sports will send it to them. They've helped us, you know, with a partnership doing work with them.
Roger
too.
Goodell, potentially.
Internationally, yeah, Goodell, I think. I think everyone needs to know.
And I think it's important, a couple things. It's important that the American listeners know what ropey means, because I certainly didn't.
You kind of figure out with context.
You can, but just for the record, it's British informal slang for inferior or inadequate, slightly unwell, below par.
Do you feel like you should have been mentioned more in the blurb? You specifically, Dan.
You can't separate the three, it said.
No, I think I'm totally comfortable with the entire write-up.
Okay. Yeah, it was a great write-up.
Right.
And it's a great list, too. I appreciated that the quality of the list, I think, spoke well.
Let's see. Bomani, like, okay, it's great. Jones at 1. Mina, we love Mina. Jenny Varentes is awesome at 3. Dominique Foxworth. Don't know Dominique
as
well.
Oh, he's great. He does Bomani's show. He's on ESPN. Okay. He does
Billy Gill. Deontay Lee of The Athletic.
I'm not familiar with Billy Gill.
But we respect him.
Well, you have to.
I'm not familiar, though. We don't have to, but I'm sure he's great.
I do, if he's on this list.
Pat McAfee at 8, so we're ahead of McAfee. It's not bad.
That's good.
David Sampson and Aqib Talib. Look at Aqib coming in. You know what, though?
So we're ahead of Romo, because if Aqib Talib can make it, and he kind of compared Talib to
Are
Romo
we? For real?
On the list, he compared to him as, like, energetic and, yeah, and a little different, you know, as a listen, but even better than Romo, he thought, right now, like, in terms of energy. So that means Romo didn't make the list, nor did any other. We're ahead of Jim Nance, I would say, too.
Notable.
And also missing the list was the Dan Le Batard show featuring Stu Gatz. And apparently this didn't sit well with everyone on that particular program.
Mm. But Sessie made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
He's a top 10 football insider.
You're goddamn f***ing right he is.
Why am I taking the bullet in that scenario?
I don't think that they were upset. I think the Billy Gill guy is involved in the Le Batard arena.
Okay.
So they were saying the list because he's involved with those guys, or he works for Le Batard. I don't have a great.
What is that? My point is, I understand Mark's point, though.
Right now, yeah. My point was they weren't upset at us. They were making fun of this guy, saying the list was bad. Like, don't be so excited that you're on this list, Billy.
Is that how you took it, Mark?
I'm just taking the insult.
Let's hear it again.
Insult with my name in it.
Not on the list.
Sessie made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
He's a top 10 football insider.
Well, you got that right. I have a Lebatard
story. Is that
story.
Stugatz? Well, I don't know. Stugatz to start it, and then Lebatard jumped in, yeah.
When we were at Super Bowl week in Miami, before Corona exploded, I was wandering around, you know, South Beach, and Dan Lebatard actually was about 10 feet away. I don't know why. He was sort of wandering around, too. And these Lebatard fans wanted to take a photo with him.
Lebatardians.
Yeah. So the Lebatardians actually just pulled me, you know, like a civilian off. I had to take a photo of Lebatard and the Lebatardians.
Whoa.
It's like I work in this industry, too. When, and little did I know that years
later. When will
later,
the disrespect end?
Well, it doesn't. It does not.
Are we in a feud?
No,
I don't want to.
You know
be
what
in
I've heard?
Anymore.
I've heard
I'm good with the feuds.
I've
right
heard
now.
From listeners. I think there's a pretty good crossover audience. I've heard good things about their audience.
Good.
They've built it up, and I think there's some that are fans of us both.
And I, you
well,
know,
it's
what?
Nice to hear.
That's good. Yeah, let's take the high road on this one, Mark.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to make a statement, like who you are, Mark Anthony Sessler,
Sessie
for short.
Actually, that
I am Mark Edward Sessler. I work for NFL Network and NFL.com, and I only wish to extend good tidings to that show and to all of them.
Why is it always Mark that takes these strays out of nowhere?
I don't know.
GMFB.
It is pretty funny, though. But I guess.
Sessie made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
He's a top 10 football insider.
It's like we wrote this for him to be a sound drop for us, but it's just their show. It's me.
All right. Coming up on today's show, which was put together with tender love and care. Fearless predictions, not for the whole season, but for October 4th specifically. What is October 4th? That is the Tuesday after week 4. We will tell you what we feel the NFL landscape will look like after what used to be the traditional quarter poll.
Well, they blew that up.
Yeah. Ruined it with their greed. No, it used to
be asymmetry. Pole. Everything must be asymmetrical.
It used to be 16
now.
Games. Now I don't know what it is anymore. Maybe after Thursday night at week 5, is that the new quarter poll? If you did the math of
it's
it
messy.
All, that's not my thing. Anyway, we're going to give you some fearless predictions. I'm going to call on the listeners to help us out with something at the end of the show. But before that, we need to get caught up with the news.
You're full of shit, Sessler.
Now it's just, what is that?
Where did that come from?
Dan randomly said that as we were setting up to tape our TA hits on, what was that, Wednesday?
Ah.
I don't know where it came from or why, but...
Did I roll out of bed?
It kind of snowballed a little bit, but no more critical thinking towards Mark. Again, Greg thinks it wasn't even critical from Stugatz.
No, I was just sort of pointing out the context. It was absolutely critical. Very critical. My context was that they weren't like mad they weren't on the list. They were on the list. Like one of their guys was on the list and they were kind of making fun of him that like, look at this list. It's just you and a bunch of ham and eggers
Sessie
over here.
Oh. I see.
Well,
I see.
That's all.
Well, nice explanation. Anyway, that was what I said was clearly in jest. Just a lot of the nonsense that I'll spew before the show starts, and you know that.
I understand your vibe.
Okay. Different than the Stugatz vibe.
Different than that vibe.
I mean, yeah. As I've been noticing, and this is a becoming a recurring thing, your guys' vibe is on a different wavelength right now. I think you missed each other. It's like, it's up and down, but it's definitely like, that's what great attractions are like.
You know what I think? I think Craig wants it. He wants in. You want it on the vibe?
I
want
to feel something, yeah.
You want it on the vibe?
I want it, yeah.
All right, we'll talk privately after the show. Let's get to the news, and we'll start with, oh, man, the Arizona Cardinals. They make a decision after Rap Sheet with the scoopage, and Rap Sheet was on our show this week breaking down how it all came to be, the independent study clause that was placed in Murray's huge extension and all the hullabaloo around that. Well, the team now has decided to eliminate that mandatory independent study clause in Murray's extension. Rap Sheet first reported. So Rap Sheet's been all over this. I also have a statement here from the Cardinals, and then we're going to hear from Kyler, but first from the Cardinals. After seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in this contract. That's a lot of word salad, Sizzler. So they take it out of the contract. Kyler Murray, smash cut to Kyler Murray, who calls his own press conference on
unscheduled
Thursday, unscheduled, and he wants everyone to know everything's cool and you should have given me the benefit of the doubt in the first place.
Today, I'm talking today because, I feel it's necessary, with what's going on as far as regarding me and the things that are being said about me. It's almost, to think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost, it's disrespectful, and it's almost a joke.
And I like this other part of the press conference, or his statement really, an opening statement, where he felt compelled, and understandably so, to explain what he's accomplished in his life as an athlete to this point.
And I don't do this often. I don't talk about myself, but today I feel like I have to. And so I'm going to list the accolades. To go 43-0 in high school in Texas.
I love this story so much.
Some are going to say, oh, it's high school. That's cool, but nobody else has done it. Go to college, win the Heisman, get drafted number one overall to the NFL, get drafted number nine overall to MLB. Again, no one's ever done it. Offensive Rookie of the Year, two-time Pro Bowler. I'm not 6'7", 230. I don't throw the ball 85 yards. I'm already behind the eight ball, and I can't afford to take any shortcuts, no pun intended. But, those things you can't accomplish if you don't take the game serious, if you don't prepare the right way. And, it's, like I said, it's laughable.
I was struck by this. I loved it. I think Kyler Murray is a different sort of quarterback and a different sort of person, and we're like learning more about him as he goes, and I love the fire, and I think it's worth pointing out, like, he's right. You can't be that successful without some sort of intelligence that you see in his game and serious nature with which you take the game and take your career. Then again, and a lot of confidence, which he clearly has too. I think he got this far in part because he picked up the NFL game and being able to read defenses and stuff like that pretty well for a rookie. Now, that all being said, he didn't really address the exact parts of the clause that he had a problem with. I mean, he sort of brought, I sort of took it as like he doesn't necessarily spend that much time on the iPad doing X's and O's, like film study at home. He started talking about like there's different ways to do film study. I like doing it with other people in the room. Like that's where I get off of it. And I take my preparation really seriously. There's different ways to prepare. There's no way that he's not preparing for the NFL seriously. But he also sort of didn't answer the specific reasons that it was in the contract in the first place. And then, to be fair, he called the press conference himself, and the second anyone started asking questions about the clause in the contract, he said, I'm not answering questions about that. Can we talk about something else? You called the press conference! Like, that's what the press conference is about. So I think he's very sensitive about that, and you can understand that, and I appreciate him being as open as he was, but I think it's like, you can look at this from a lot of sides. No one's right and wrong in it.
And had Ian not eagle-eyed this contract, and let's say none of us knew about this, the bottom line is Kyler Murray and his representation agreed to what was in the contract. It's turned into, it's grown so incredibly annoying, almost to a delightful extent at this point. But the Cardinals this offseason and Kyler Murray have operated like a circus. I mean, it feels like a team that is in search of themselves on some level. And this whole Kyler Murray is symbolic, situation is symbolic of that. For me, though, like, I love what he said yesterday, and I agree with you, Greg.
Yeah,
it changes how I feel about him.
To be clear, I did
him.
For the most part, yeah.
It changes how I feel about him, and I do think, maybe it lit a fire under him, and maybe it will change something for him this season. But I have to say that, like, he initially agreed to this. Something about what the Cardinals saw in his preparation, in his game, he acknowledged, yes, I will sign this, and that's part of the contract. If he had an issue with it, he should have brought it up before.
Maybe the Cardinals... You know, maybe it's not a clown car over there. Maybe they galaxy brain this thing. And
I don't
now
think so.
They've lit this huge inferno underneath their wildly talented quarterback. I'm pretty much kidding, but it maybe does achieve that effect because now he's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder after being called out in this way. And that's what he was. He was called out by his own team that gave him hundreds of millions of dollars, but said, you're going to do it the right way. So, yes, I think.
Why remove it then?
I don't know. That's why the clown music is played, Greg, because I don't know. That's a half measure. It's like you either should have put it in and kept it or not put it in at all. But when you do it, you just make it a fresh story again. We're not talking about this with such vigor on a Friday after this happened initially on Monday or whatever, if not for this. So they've kind of botched this, and I'll give Murray credit. He was smart enough to get in front of the story, and I thought he comported himself well with the opening statement at least. It's probably the first kind of good, smart thing he did this offseason. He didn't have the best offseason either with some of the things he did through his agent. But hopefully the team can move past this and start focusing on football now.
It's a big part of the story, the agent, because his introductory press conference, when he signed the contract, he threw some shade at his own agent. I don't know if it was totally intentional
that way. Mr. Caplock himself.
His name's Eric Burkhard, and he said that, Kyler said, I took a lot of grief this offseason in part because of my agent, because of that statement.
No.
And he just said that. That was before all of this happened. By the way, Kyler did that press conference knowing that they were going to take the clause out of his contract, but we didn't know that at the time he did that press conference. There is some speculation, this was from Pro Football Talk, that he might be getting rid of his agent, and that's part of all of this, that they're taking it out, that it's maybe helping the agent to save face. Who knows? But it was a messy week, I think, for the two people that agreed on it, which was ultimately Cardinals ownership and the agent, I think, are the ones that were kind of at fault here.
All right. We're just getting started. Let's take a quick break and then spin through the rest of the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never see me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, moving on. Another wide receiver gets paid. It is DK Metcalf, member of the Superstar Club, big-time playmaker for the Seahawks. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of year he has with Russell Wilson now throwing spirals in the Rocky Mountains. But The Seahawks want him as a part of their future, so they give him a three-year, $72 million extension that runs through 2025. Nearly $60 million of that is guaranteed. So this is a big-time contract for a big-time player, Mark Sessler.
Had to do this. I mean, there were months removed from the idea that he could have been traded away out of Seattle. The only thing that I, you know, the money is great. He's totally deserving. He's a rare, unique type of talent who fits Seattle really well. My one problem is with their quarterback situation. I mean, this isn't his fault. I think you're wasting one of those years with their quarterback situation this season.
Well, I agree, but they're also trying to win this year, whether that works or not. To them, I think it's pretty meaningful to win 9 games versus 5, let's say. And DK Metcalf needs to be a part of this team either way. He gets to be a free agent when he's 27 again, so it works out great. It's just, I find it interesting with these wide receiver contracts. I think people are going to look at a little differently because, man, the market changed. And I think it makes sense, but these contracts that A.J. Brown got, Deebo Samuel's probably going to get an almost identical contract. He has the same agent as DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin. And
A.J. Brown has that same agent, too. So that agent is doing quite well this offseason.
All these contracts,
yeah, Mark,
are basically quarterback contracts. I mean, they're making like what Ryan Tannehill makes for the Titans. They're getting $30 million signed, but they're quarterback contracts. And I think that's fine, but it also gets to this other like nagging point that's bothered me for many years, which is the whole like, well, you got to win on the rookie quarterback contract. You got to win on the, you know, it's like, it's what true. An advantage. You got to do this. Well, it's like, no, now these other contracts are also quarterback contracts. And that was sort of the case anyways. What is this huge difference between having 25 or 30 on the books for a receiver and having 35 or 40 on the books for a quarterback? Going back as far as we can, those quarterback contracts were still only taking up 15-20% of your cap. And that's a lot, but you're also wasting tons of money on tons of terrible signings on the rest of the contract. And I think the receiver contracts and these other veterans getting this sort of money points that out. I think you can absolutely win with big-time contracts on whether it's quarterbacks
sure.
or not.
Sure, I think sometimes that gets twisted so to turn into a hot take that all those people are wrong. But it is harder when you have the quarterback giant salary on the books. It
but
doesn't
like
mean it's
how
impossible.
Much harder? It's
but
like the real 5% harder. But
the,
you know, but
I
you
don't
have
know if
that
you could quantify that. I'm not a math major, but I will also say, and you can't sleep on what a huge advantage it is to have the rookie quarterback who's a stud on his rookie contract.
Right. My point is like
you can't argue.
Think
that.
Of the advantage now to have DK Metcalf on his rookie contract versus this contract. Or when you're a defensive end, think of the advantage of having Aaron Donald when he was on his rookie contract compared to his veteran contract. And all these are just percentages. Like now it's going from just a couple percent.
Quarterbacks
of the
make
cap.
The most though, right?
Absolutely. But all it is like 15% of a $230 million cap. And there's money being spent well and money spent poorly all throughout the rest of the cap. And it's only a small percentage.
You do get teams, though, because I'm looking at, like, for instance, what the Browns did with Deshaun Watson, that 2 years from now, he counts $55 million against the cap. Miles Garrett counts another 32.
They'll change that, though, by the time they get there.
That's not – for. And they've got – if you add a couple of their other players, too, I mean, you've got – a significant portion of your cap tied up in 3 or 4 people.
My overarching point is it's harder to find great players than it is to work around the great player's contract. That it's worth they're worth the contracts because
sure.
you can figure out the rest of the roster if you're smart.
I just like that you know, Greg, you did your debate club in high school, and I
Model
respect
Congress,
Model Congress how you like slipped in a data point there. It's 5% harder.
Well, I just threw that.
And it's like, oh, like if you take Greg on his
How
word, it's
Greg
like, oh, he won the argument. It's only 5%.
All I mean is like, what is DK Metcalf even now, what is he taking up of the cap? It's like, it's 10-12%. The quarterbacks are taking up 15-17%. It's still like a
stop throwing out numbers. You don't know the answers. Yes, Justin.
I just think last year's Super Bowl is a case in point for everything you're talking about. The Rams pay
right.
so many huge contracts, go win the Super Bowl. On the other side of the field is the Bengals, who have all this young talent on rookie contracts.
Right.
There's multiple ways
There's
to win.
There's a million ways to do it, but mm-hmm. but the hardest part, mm-hmm. I think, is finding the great players. That's the mm-hmm. hardest part.
There's more than one way them. To skin a cat.
Absolutely. I would also point
what does
to
that even mean,
the last Seahawks Super Bowl championship and their back-to-back Super Bowl run is when they had the rookie quarterback and they could spend out the wazoo for everyone else. It's an advantage. It's a huge advantage.
It's not that huge as my
5%. You're right. You won. I forgot. Speaking of, there was good news about the Seahawks. Here's bad news about the Seahawks. Jamal Adams is seeking a second opinion on a hand injury. He doesn't have a timetable on his return to our friend Michael Sean Dugar. It's MSD. MSD. For the initials. Anyway, surgery is possibly in play here, according to Pete Carroll. Not, obviously, very scary situation for the Seahawks, who really, we all know the story about Adams and how much the Seahawks gave up to get him from the Jets, hoping he was going to put them over the top. He's struggled to stay healthy, Mark, plain and simple.
This has not worked out at all for them. I mean, Jamal Adams does a lot for your defense, but this is a team that waved goodbye to Bobby Wagner. You've got Quandre Diggs. Jamal Adams, if he's not healthy, not able to get on the field soon. I just look at this deal and say, this was viewed by John Schneider, Pete Carroll, as the final move to put Seattle over the top and make them a Super Bowl contender again in the NFC, and it has gone completely backwards.
It's discouraging. I mean, speaking of spending cap resources poorly, this is sort of what I'm talking about, that like the advantage is having a great quarterback, whether it's on a rookie deal or even if you have to pay his worth, like having the great quarterback is the value. Wasting resources in terms of a draft and then contractual resources in Jamal Adams is how you get in a really tough spot. If you make a couple decisions
hear me out on this then. Back to your point. Once Russell got the huge contract, your line, your margin of error gets almost razor thin with how you construct the rest of your roster, especially the big contracts
Absolutely.
You hand out. So Jamal Adams is a good example of the dangers of building a roster when you already have a huge quarterback contract on the books.
Absolutely. I guess my thing is with these rosters, it's just there's so many – like there's 10 big contracts now. Like the cap has really gone up. Seattle's not a great example of one that has players with huge – numbers on the books, but you look at a team like the Chiefs or the Rams, man, they find a way to put 5, 6, 7 of these huge contracts on the same cap and still have a great team.
Speaking of bad injury news early in camp, the Buccaneers might not have their star center Ryan Jensen this season at all. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported Friday per sources that the team is waiting final word as of right now, but the fear is that Jensen has suffered a season-ending knee injury. He suffered it in practice on Thursday, got carted off. It looked bad at the time. Mark, we've done this long enough when this type of ramp-up usually tells you swelling goes down. You get the MRI, and it's a tear in there, and that's the season. Bad news for the Bucs, who are already, you know, a lot of transition on their line. So this is a made in the pivot, Mark, in the pivot.
Yeah, you've got a new left guard. Shaq Mason is a very good new right guard. And it looks like someone like Robert Hainsey might step in and play center. You could go out and get someone like J.C. Tretter, who was with the Browns previously. That's someone that they've mentioned. This was the 14th best center in the league last year, according to PFF. And Tom Brady has, you know, at his age, it's been so well protected behind that line. I remember, I mean, we all do, at the end of last season, heading into the playoffs, when they started to have injury issues along that line, Tom Brady was not the same. And this is a major concern. This is like the leader of their line as well.
We're going to have more on this later in the show, so hold further thoughts on this. Let's move on. Holden talk. Greg, you took credit for Holden. I like that. That was a bold move on Wednesday's show. So here are some more. Chargers coach Brandon Staley said that Derwin James, their star safety, will sit out practice until his contract is resolved. The same can be said for Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson, who also is sitting out team drills. And Diontae Johnson might want to get back to practice because I feel like the Steelers, Greg, don't tend to give out a second contract to wide receivers for the most part. But hey, listen, it's a strategy.
No, and it's also like one of these, I like Diontae Johnson a lot, but compared to Deebo Samuel and Derwin James and DK for a few days, that's sort of the level of player that it's been able to pull off these Holdens. And it doesn't sound like Diontae Johnson is going to get a contract out of this. So he's just going to skip a few weeks of practice, most likely, and then just come back to practice. And that's fine. I think it's telling, and I like that these teams are handling this in a way where it's not, it doesn't seem like there's hard feelings here between the two
sides. Yeah, like Derwin James is absolutely getting done. With Diontae, you know, like Mark Caboli of The Athletic, who's covered the Steelers forever, basically said the team does not have any interest in paying him Terry McLaurin type money or anything like that. So I'm with you. I think it's just like take a couple weeks off and go probably get your money on the market next offseason.
Right. Or get franchise tagged.
It's a pittance for these players. Even
would you franchise tag?
He hasn't gotten the huge deal yet, Johnson. But if he doesn't get a new deal, is he going to have to pay all the fines for missing? I mean, it comes with a literal cost,
now,
not practice.
If I had put in the kind of prep that new old Blue Eyes here did, I could have done a search on Pro Football Reference. I would recommend StatHead if you're into it. It's like $7.95 a month, but you can do all sorts of great stat searches on Pro Football Reference. And what I would search, and maybe I'll do it the show, it's a little complicated. It's like, who has more targets than Deontay Johnson over the last 2 years combined? 144 in 2020, 169 in 2021. My guess would be is in the top five in all receivers. Now, the production...
Can we give Sean Kelly something to do?
Yeah. Well, he'd have to be signed in. It's a little complicated. You got to put the parameters
with 50
in.
Plus fewer receptions just, off those targets.
Sean just threw his hands up like,
now,
are you kidding me?
Combined,
with this narrative?
Combined, he's gotten 2,100 yards. He is a productive receiver. He's very good. He's not quite at the McLaurin or Debo type of difference maker level, but I love him. I mean, at worst, he's a great number two.
I mean, they've had a tough quarterback situation the last couple years, too.
Chase Claypool's a guy. I'm interested to see what his season looks like. All right. Recovery news. David Bakhtiari, the great left tackle for the Packers, whose career has been thrown into limbo because of a knee injury he can't seem to get right from. Basically missed all of last year. We learn now that he had another surgery on the same knee recently. He's out indefinitely. Also, the Washington Commanders, Chase Young, coming off that ACL tear. He looks like he will miss the beginning of the regular season. We don't know how much. Same can be said for Michael Gallup, standout wide receiver of the Cowboys, likely to miss regular season time. All vitally important players to their respective teams, Greggy.
Yeah, it's just the time of year, and it's hard to know like which injuries to bring up on the show because we're getting new injury information.
Those ones are good ones.
Every day. But yeah, these are the three where it's like, okay, if there was hope that Young and Gallup could be back sooner than expected and back for week one, that's not happening. When they give out the idea this early in the process, it's usually a bad sign, and at best you're going to miss a few weeks, and that's really significant. And then Bakhtiari, between him and Elgton Jenkins, who's their second-best offensive lineman, who's coming off a torn ACL, and potentially those are their two tackles this year. Jenkins has played all sorts of different positions, but that's like a pretty big X factor here with the Packers going into the season. They're two tackles who are the next two best players on the offense, I would argue, to Aaron Rodgers along with Aaron Jones here. It's like that's pretty massive for them heading into the season.
It's like we don't hear that much details about surgery sometimes, but Bakhtiari, essentially, it isn't really even the core ACL injury at this point. It's that the first surgery never sat well with him. Had to get a second one. With Young, surgeons grafted part of his healthy left patella tendon to help repair the injured knee. So it's like you're going and taking part of the tendon and bone or whatever and putting it onto the other one. I mean, that does not sound
doesn't
like a whole lot
sound
of fun.
Great.
I do have an update on the target situation. Is it worth heading back? You know, that's like a podcasting question. It's too late now. I have gone back.
You're back, yeah.
But just like sometimes it's not worth stopping the flow of the show to go back.
Well, now that
to
you
the
have, let Mark and I try to figure it out. Yeah. Let's see if we can figure it out. I'm going to say, feel very confident that Davante Adams is on this list.
He's number two. Yeah, give me top five guesses.
Who else would be – who is constantly targeted in their offense?
McLaurin?
No, he's 10th.
Let's see. Amari Cooper? No, he was injured last year, I believe. All right, let's hear the list.
Stephon Diggs, number one.
Davante,
two. Cooper Kupp, three. And then Deontay Johnson is number four in the NFL. Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson are next on the list. But Deontay Johnson, the fourth most targeted.
Very interesting. All right, we don't have Colleen here to sing her odds and ends jingle, but we do have Mark Sessler. So Mark Sessler, pinch hitting, hit it.
How does it go? Odds and ends.
Wait for the music cue.
He was ready, though. I liked that. He didn't know that was coming.
Odds and ends, odds and ends. I really suck at singing this song.
That was pretty good.
That was you started
great. You lost confidence midway through. You shouldn't have lost confidence.
I was already readying my.
Should
like,
I do it again?
I don't know.
Yes.
I think you
I'll
might have
better.
To. You might have to replace Colleen. Right. Take.
I'll here
do
we
better.
Go. This time.
Am
this
I supposed
time
to be
real.
Doing something with the hands?
If you want,
I don't think you could do what Connie does.
I don't
you
want to try it.
Yeah, go ahead. See yourself.
Just the vocals. Yeah. odds and ends, odds and ends, odds and ends.
First one.
Well, no. It's getting worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did I
agree? A little
to
bit
this?
Of.
She can sing.
You started feeling
it's like this.
The flow.
I'll just do the Colleen thing, and then you can maybe do it. Here it is. Okay. This is what Colleen does more.
This is a mess.
She's like this. You ready? Odds and ends. Odds and ends. Everybody, get ready for some odds and ends.
All right.
Yeah, the timing.
You got to time it up.
I think she says, "Tell your friends."
That's tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Yes,
okay.
Very good. Key line. Oh, maybe Greg should do it. All right, do it. Greg.
Well, I just got usurped.
Odds and ends, odds and ends. You want to tell your friend with odds and ends.
No.
Coming up.
No, it's not good.
All right, let's hit 8 o'clock delight.
It's like, how does she end it?
Danny, well, we need Colleen here. That's what we learned. Danny Amendola has retired, a Ricky Hollywood favorite. Bill Belichick even spoke highly of him in a press conference. I love Danny. Good player, long career.
Do you remember the video of Danny Amendola's dad, who was a coach, where that runaway cart was veering over the turf and he got knocked over and taken out?
No.
He was fine in the end, but it was one of the more bizarre football videos I've ever seen.
Carlos Dunlap is headed to the Chiefs. Eric Armstead is out a few weeks. Quan Alexander going to the Jets. Speaking of the Jets, Mekhi Becton and Carl Lawson off the pup list. Good signs. Greg.
I think it's been a very positive feeling Jets pup season. And Quan Alexander played pretty well for the Saints last year. I think that's a nice signing. They just
didn't need
a
little depth signing and a linebacker. All right. Justin Ross out for the season. Raiders starter Denzel Good retires. How about that?
That's rough for the Raiders because their line, I think, is their Achilles heel right now. They've got a lot of shifting new faces, and that was someone they were relying on.
All right. And finally, Ward/Conklin on pup. That's Denzel Ward?
Yeah.
Denzel Ward foot injury.
Tyler Conklin?
Jack Conklin. Former Titan, right tackle. Brown's got some questions, I feel like. Not that so much, but on the offensive line, some questions. Playoff Danny, by the way. Playoff Danny. I got to, they don't win that Super Bowl in 2014, which is probably my favorite Patriots Super Bowl when it comes down to it, after the first
good.
One.
You finally gotten off that Fugazi corner when you said that horrible Rams-Pats Super Bowl was your favorite.
That was just to bother you. But he was a monster in that comeback against the Ravens in the divisional round and then had a big touchdown in a big game in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks too.
All right, we need to take one more break and then get to the seg. Let's do that. We'll be right back with some fearless predictions for October 4th.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It all could have been different, Mr. Walker. You should have allowed nature to take its course. In the end, it will anyway.
So let me the fucking house!
Ah, yes, Mark Wahlberg from Fear. Remember Fear?
Oh, I saw it in the theater.
You know what I thought was always so effective about that movie? 1996, for the Zoomers out there. That actually is Mark Wahlberg. Like, clearly Mark Wahlberg probably did that to one of his ex-girlfriend's fathers through a door somewhere in the suburbs of Boston.
Yeah, it feels organic.
And that is also the same Mark Wahlberg that left the 28-3 Super Bowl early. So just, it all ties together. See how it's all connected?
When you try to make your, like, public-facing profile, like, as a sports fan, like, that's part of the agenda, and then you have a moment like that, it's like, it all
no coming
just,
back.
Yeah. It all just seems funny.
Anyway, fear, fear. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear is a part of human nature. Wow. We eschew that. We fear nothing.
Eschew.
We fear. We go where others fear to tread. We are fearless. We are making fearless predictions for October 4th, 2022. That is the Tuesday after the conclusion of week four of the NFL season. Does it all make sense?
So specific.
Does I like
Tuesday,
the
October
business.
4th. Yeah. Eschew. Eschew?
It's not eschew?
So well, I just looked it up. Eschew? It offers both versions.
You're
versions.
Saying that the C, it just haven't heard the C part eschew. So hard.
I've always said eschew.
I feel like eschew. The word has kind of lost its footing.
Yeah. People I think they fear should, to they say should it. Remove
time
words
to bring
at some
it back.
Point.
Time to bring it back, eschew.
Or get rid eschew. Of it entirely. Eschew. Just remove from the
eschew. That's the right way to say it. What was the one you did? What were the boats in the... You butchered the boats in Italy. What was that?
I don't recall.
Yes, you do.
I was in Italy when I did this?
No, we were at Vegas.
Gondolas?
Yeah.
Gondola.
No, you called it a gondola.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You got to take the L on that one. I'll take the L on eschew if you take the L
to.
On gondola.
I'll do further research on that.
What all about right. Quebec?
Ooh.
Well, that,
got that
listen,
one. That's another dub for
that,
the old
No,
user.
It was not, though. It was not, depending
this
on
is,
where
this
you
is
go.
Riveting stuff here.
We'll cut all this out of the show. Let's get into fearless predictions for October 4th. Get us going, Greg.
Okay. I'm going to make a prediction in the form of an actual piece of writing that's going to go up on NFL.com
like that.
That week. It's going to be written, actually, by Mark Sessler. So I'm predicting what you're going to write as the new Helmer. The new captain of QB Index. I hope you don't mind. I guess
breaking news.
We're breaking that news.
I was not aware that I thought it was a different column or something.
No, it's going to be your QB Index column, which Mark is taking.
Whoa, a passing of the scepter here.
Yeah, which Mark has taken over. Wes wrote it at one point. I had started back in the mix. I did it last, so it's great. It's a family.
The bar is very high.
Wow.
It's a family operation. But here it is, QB Index. After week four. Mark's writing Lamar Jackson number two. This is his profile. Wow, Lamar is up at number two. Through a 2021 season and subsequent offseason of endless storm clouds, waves of chaos, and ill fortune,
yeah, sounds right.
Lamar Jackson never blinked. The renewed emphasis on Lamar's legs and the Ravens running game has overshadowed how big plays with his arm left the Patriots, Bills, and Bengals looking like soaking school children who lost their umbrella. The vultures
Nailed
circling
it.
Around Lamar now resemble bright yellow chickadees, with the only foul carcass in the AFC North lying inert to the north in Cleveland.
Send that to me. Yeah. I will use that.
You absolutely should. Like, that would be a little inside joke just between us
Slip
and
it
the
right
listeners.
In there. Yes.
We need the Browns to stink. We need that Lamar to come through strong. I guess you could move the ranking around if you didn't
I
feel
did
that,
see.
Yeah.
We
Feels
are
realistic.
We're full on, you know, Lamar, for a guy that's already an MVP, does have a lot of people in the football cognoscente who are deep in his corner and will go out of their way to pump him up. Greg's one of them, for example. Like I saw a report, the latest report, Lamar Jackson throwing incredible spirals this summer. It's like, well, he won MVP. I think he was already throwing spirals.
Talk about his velocity.
Well, I kind of didn't in the past. There, you're right, though, that there's been some off-season hype for the Lamar lovers out there that, like,
which is fine.
That, like, he's
okay
really been focused on his passing. He wasn't happy, and that he's added 15 pounds of muscle. And it might all be nonsense, but if you're so inclined to believe in Lamar, and they really did kind of focus their offseason on, I think, rebuilding that running game, that was more the idea, that's going to be the bedrock. I do think they've got a tough schedule early. But it wouldn't surprise me to hear Lamar
I don't
come
love
out of the
their,
gate so fast.
Their wideout group is problematic.
Mark
no
Andrews
doubt.
Better stay healthy.
No doubt. But
put
if
it
he
that way.
If he's beaten the Patriots, Bills, and Bengals,
yeah. All right, so that's something I feel like you really want to happen, but do you actually feel it is going to happen?
Yeah, I think Lamar is set up for an excellent season, and the Ravens are set up for an excellent bounce back. And actually, one of those lines in the article I lifted exactly from a Mark Sessler write-up of the Ravens from last year.
Oh, jeez.
Well done. Well done. All right. And let me...
It was the storm clouds, waves of chaos, and ill fortune.
No one has written waves of chaos on this site other than Mark. Like, if anybody else wrote it, you would be kind of flagged as a plagiarist. Love you, buddy.
I love you also.
No, that was love through plagiarism.
I don't
right
care
there.
What Stugot says.
I don't think Stugatz, if he were to meet me, maybe he would feel differently.
You know what? Even just putting myself in the mind of Mark Sessler, I think opened me up. Like that line, I said they looked like soaking school children who lost their umbrella. That was good. I should use lines like that.
Why did you walk away from QB Index?
There's two big columns per week is a grind. I got the picks. I've done QB. I was really happy with
debrief.
How I did it last year. Just the pick. I'm just doing the picks.
Nice.
And just timing of the
you're
week.
Working we, less.
We've got a lot.
It's good. It's a good
we've
idea.
Got more talking to do this season. Two big columns.
Getting a little worried about power rankings this year.
Bringing it back to one. See, you're on one. That's what
I
mean.
It's like four columns in one.
What if I get like 3 weeks in and I'm like, this is not for me. Can
QB
I hand
index
it back to
felt
you,
a little like four columns
are you
in
okay
one,
with
so.
That is a lot of work, Mark. Are you worried about maybe that could affect Mark's performance on the show if QB index turns into a bear? That would become not Mark's fault, but yours.
No, I think Mark is like Lamar right now. He's in the best shape of his life, and he's going to be cranking, at least through week four. I worry more about
week
13.
Wouldn't it, in theory, I'd be better on the show if I'm doing more and more work?
Right.
I'm going to circle back to Tampa Bay, as I hinted at earlier. My fearless prediction is that the Bucs are going to be, let's say, 1-3. After 4 weeks, and there will be panic in the streets. And a lot of it does go back to what Mark said about the uncertainty around that offensive line with Ryan Jensen most likely out for the year. Then you look at the schedule makers. The NFC South is typically a pretty decent place to be, but it doesn't start out well for the Bucs at all. At Dallas,
tough
12-5 team in their building. At New Orleans,
dang, they might be the only NFL team that starts with two road games. No
and
respect.
As, and as Mark is wont to say,
the Colts start at Houston at Jacksonville.
Okay,
Graver.
Ow, right
in
there. Bunsen burner blowtorch. Mark, you love to talk about how the Saints always take it to Tom Brady. So at New Orleans in week two, that building is going to be on fire. Home versus Green Bay, week three. Home versus Chiefs in week four.
Those are all amazing games. For
a team with a offensive line, very real issue. We're edging into crisis territory now. Ali Marpet retired. You have Ryan Jensen, as I said, out for the year most likely. Who else did they lose?
Kappa.
They lost the guard there. So the three new interior blockers need time to gel. And I think there's going to be a lot. Another fearless prediction here, Mark Wahlberg, through the peephole, let me in the effing house, is a lot of people are going to take that and wrongly put it on Brady and say Brady is getting old finally.
By people, you mean you?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Listen, you own up and you move on. People will think it's Brady because Brady will be struggling statistically and he's going to be getting hit a lot. And they're going to say, well, without a good offensive line and he's another year older, maybe this is the end. Spoiler alert, it is not the end, but it will not begin well.
They had trouble a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl. They were a little slow out of the gate. I mean, there were different reasons for that, but I could totally see that. That is a rough month of games.
That is fearless, though. I'm definitely not on board. To me, the Bucks, despite losing Jensen, and that's a pretty big one. J.C. Treader would be a nice pickup.
It takes time for a line. Even if they get Treader,
I mean,
it takes time for a line to gel.
They got Shaq Mason, to me, who's an upgrade from Kappa, so that's one guard spot. They did draft a second-round pick. You know, Brady makes these guys look better. I'm buying into that Julio fits in here as like a nice piece. They just have so many weapons on both sides of the ball.
All right, you tell me their record after 4 weeks.
That's a tough schedule. I would probably, if I had to pick, go 3-1.
Wow. Well, I'll they're very
to,
much.
To
two
me,
and
two. To me,
they're
I think
in great shape if they're 3-1 out of the gate here this year.
To me, I would put them in the Bills as like the two best rosters and the two teams I think that I'd have the hardest time seeing struggling like at any point.
Do you worry at teams. All about Todd Bowles?
Oh, that was
the
other thing. Thank you for bringing it up. Todd Bowles, like we all talked about, we're happy he got another chance. It was kind of behind the eight ball with playing, coaching for the Jets. But it is, that's a big change for the team as well. And you just, you wonder if there's just going to be an early season adjustment period and the team will come out eventually, but it'll start slow. That's what I predict fearlessly.
And Jensen is the guy they prioritized the most in this free agent class where we didn't know who they'd be able to bring back. You know, they got Godwin back, but it's like they really put Jensen even ahead of Carlton Davis and some of their other guys. That's how important he was to them.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Chris Godwin.
Not healthy early.
Not healthy right now either. So he's been cleared for the beginning of camp with that ACL, but it might take some time. Levante David, that harlot, Liz Frank, also an issue.
That's tough.
So there you go. All right, how about you? I feel like I nailed that one. Greg's was, all right.
What do you mean? Well,
Greg's was based on me. So why would that not, why would it be just all
I'm
right?
I'm going more for style over substance here. Right. I think it was a good entry point into it. And
Graver, whose was better out of the first two?
That's a tough call.
But what's he
going to
say?
Be honest, I won't get mad if you feel it was his.
Do not answer this question, Graver, unless it's me.
You can't win this.
No. See, here's the thing. It's like you can hype up a fan base or you can cast doom and gloom over a fan base. Mm. And I do feel like Greg's decision to hype up the Ravens might be better taken.
Better energy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
But when it comes to accuracy.
Answer. Oh, that's what I'm looking for.
Probably.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
We should be fearless in our predictions, Justin, though, not pandering to fan bases. Wouldn't you agree as the producer of the show?
That's true.
That's kind of our bread and butter, right? What was in the write-up by The Guardian? What did they say what we do? We are ruthless honesty what we're about.
So not just, hey, I'm going to make you feel good.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Stick ruthless. To the integrity of the fearlessness of the segment.
All right, Mark, how about you?
All right, let's stay in the NFC South. I thought a lot about this because this came to me, and I'm a little concerned. This is not pandering to anyone. This is a different way to do it. Baker Mayfield wins the job in Carolina. Start right there. Things start swimmingly as Baker throws a pair of gutsy fourth-quarter touchdowns to slay the Browns in the opener. We all want to see that happen. The offense stumbles from there, though, the team drops three straight against the Giants, Saints, and Cards. Baker's killer interception against Arizona, which seals the team's tumble in overtime, propels coach Matt Rhule to announce that Sam Darnold will start the team's Week 5 tilt against San Francisco. Mm. Rule's master plan goes awry, however, when Darnold is sent to the hospital for observation after being overwhelmed by a gang of children. This is all the rage in America right now.
You
know
wait
it is.
For the second one, but he's in with the first one. Go ahead.
No, child gangs.
Child gangs.
It's huge in America right now. They swarm the streets. They fill the malls. They spin havoc at will. Darnold's prognosis is positive.
No Dwayne Reed is safe.
No. Darnold's prognosis is positive. Those kids just gave him a shiner and stole his clothing. But the misadventure allows Baker to step in and register a stunning upset of the Niners and keep the job. Mm. Darnold doesn't play another snap in 2022 and struggles to live down the reality that he was snowed under by a flock of agitated prepubescent boys and girls.
Wow, so this was an amazing. I mean, first of all, that's what Sessie does.
That's like Sessie you want to know Sessie. What you hey, Stu Gotts, listen up
yeah, you
over
want to know
here.
What Sessie does? He's got the gang of children. Didn't see that coming. And then you went to the end of the season, so the fearless prediction is now well past week four. Baker keeps the job all year. I like it. I like that you said like it was nothing. The Panthers destroy the Browns in week one like we all want to see. What world are we living in?
Well,
I think
I think if you're wild. Like the justice angle of like Baker having revenge would be a sweet storyline.
I am still not dubious, but I'm curious what Mark Sessler's headspace is week one.
He's a top 10 football insider.
Well, I know that. Where's Mark going to be week one when the Browns are playing on Sunday?
I don't feel much towards them right now. I'm just going to be more of an agnostic, as they say.
You know, Greg, before I swing it back to you,
mine
is also Panthers related.
Oh, wow.
So why don't we just knock them out together here?
So much Panthers.
Yeah, you know what? We're all about the NFC South apparently tonight. There's always a team that gets out of the gates quickly. And then are quickly, you know, reality takes hold.
Like the Panthers last year.
Last year it was the Panthers. This year, it's going to be the Panthers. Okay. Back-to-back years. Here's how the Panther season begins. I think Mark might have mentioned some of the opponents, but I'll just go over it again. Home against Cleveland, at New York Giants, home against Saints, home against Cardinals. Three home games. Yes, some tough games in there, but also Saints and Cardinals in your building. I like Jameis Winston on the road. I never have fear about that. Who knows what we're getting with the Cardinals?
Destroyed him early last year.
Yes, that's true. We also don't know what the Cardinals are going to look like. No DeAndre Hopkins early. The Giants are the Giants, and until they show that they're not the Giants, they're still the Giants. And the Browns are a middling team, we know. Even though Deshaun Watson still, we don't have any answer on that. And there was a report today, we won't get one this week either. So at some point, Deshaun Watson's situation will be made clear, but it's not there yet. Anyway, long story short, I don't know who's going to start. It'll probably be Baker. I think the fans in Carolina are all about Baker.
Well, I've told you that that's the case.
Right. Mark's made his fearless prediction. I know Darnold badly outplayed Baker day one of camp. Then I believe it's gone the other way. They are splitting reps. It was Darnold first team day one. It was Baker first team day two, and they're splitting reps day three. So far, Rule is very much playing this right down the middle. And I say with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, now that Robbie Anderson has dropped the Y and is now R-O-B-B-I-E, I think that's going to create some positive juice. And I see them starting 3-1 and people getting pumped up.
Well, I like the IE move for Robbie. He's right. It does look better. That was his explanation. He's just like,
it's just
better.
Late in the game to do it. Yeah. I don't know.
It feels like he's pivoting off of the Darius Leonard.
You don't want to be second to the dinner table on that.
Right.
I think this the offseason's so long that you come around on some teams. And I haven't come around on the Panthers mattering, but I do think that they have a lot of professional football players, and adding Baker to a much improved offensive line on paper. I don't think Matt Rhule has been a terrible offense. Like, everyone's like, how is this going to fit with Ben McAdoo? And it's like, it's a Matt Rhule offense.
Rockstar Ben McAdoo.
I don't think Matt Rhule is going down in his career by handing over the keys to his entire offense to Ben McAdoo. It's a Matt Rhule system, which gets rid of the ball quickly. Baker's got to learn how to do that. But I think, for the most part, has done a good job getting the ball to playmakers. Like, there are a lot of players here. The defense, while their statistical rankings were overinflated, also have a lot of professional players. Their secondary is kind of fun if J.C. Horn is healthy. I don't think this is a good team, but it's one of those teams that it's not that hard to win 7 games in the NFL, and they feel very much like a team that can at least win 7 games, and sometimes you win 3 out of the first 4 to get there.
The Falcons won 7 a year ago. I also say the Panthers were stymied by the loss of Christian McCaffrey again and the worst quarterback play in the league.
And to be clear, I do believe they will have a fast start, but I think just like last year, they'll fade.
That's not what these predictions are about. We don't know.
Right. I can only tell you that they'll be 3-1, and I won't be buying in on October 4th. They'll be like, nice start. Nice start.
Well, and you won't be caught off guard.
I will not. And I will also say I'm kind of down. I'm kind of down with this quarterback battle because, Greg, as you pointed out, we don't have enough of them anymore. And I'm just looking at the Charlotte Observer in the past hour. Sam Darnold led a 2-minute touchdown drive and made the throw of training camp thus far. Wasn't enough to win the day against Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I love that.
This is great. This is going to go all through the next few
weeks.
Baker's
been throwing a lot
of
picks. He's
new to the system.
He's throwing deep. I love this stuff. I love the Geno Lock battle. Supposedly Geno had.
That doesn't sound like a battle right now.
No, but Geno also supposedly had the worst possible day two, where he was just fumbling snaps over and over. So,
all right, how about another one?
All right, this is another preview of NFL.com content on October 5th. Is it Tuesday, Week 4?
Tuesday, October 4th.
Power rankings coming in at number 20, the Houston Texans.
Whoa.
And here's the content. The old Zeuser doesn't know what to do with these 3-1 Texans. A 1-point win over the Colts in the opener was all about special teams, and it's tough for Dan Zeus to get excited when they dispatched the moribund Bears in
Very
week
good.
Three. And Sunday's win was a classic case of Chargers gonna Charger. Still, the old new blue eyes has to admit a fondness for Davis Mills. It is becoming impossible to ignore the eradicable greatness that Kyahmi Fairbairn has given the world after another game winner.
The what
especially
greatness?
Especially to Daddy Rich.
Like, oh, I like it. Did you get a tugboat in there?
Oh, shoot.
You can just end it with tugboat out.
Tugboat out, yeah.
Tugboat out. I like the style. I think you hit some points. I didn't even know one of the words.
That was in both of yours, I lifted an actual sentence, and the eradicable greatness of Kyahmi Fairbairn was an actual
that's
quote.
Amazing. I must have just stolen that from
when
someone.
When he hit a banger game winner late
I've never used any of my nicknames in written content on NFL.com, but otherwise I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It would be funny if you did. Well, it'd also be funny because
that you haven't.
Right. It'd be funny if...
Self-contained in the studio.
Because that's only one team that you would have used four or five nicknames. If you did that for every team, that would be great.
So the Texans at 20. So
at 3-1, and that schedule, okay, but you're not buying in, really, because they're 3-1. They barely beat the Colts. It's like you could see that happening. They got the Bears early, which is a winnable game. They did beat the Chargers last year. Like, there is a route here for them. I do think their team... They're a little like the Panthers to me. That I think they're going to be a lot more competitive than they were the last 2 years, put it that way.
All right. That would be a surprise, and that is
fearless. A lot of veterans. They're not a young team. They're one of the older teams. They signed a lot of Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, and I actually kind of believe in this coaching staff to get these guys to play respectable football and just be a respectable team and win some games.
That's right. They hired Lovie Smith.
Around the NFL guest, crazy.
He was
a wonderful guest.
I enjoyed talking to him. He seemed to have a really good perspective about where he was in his career back in February. Maybe that's changed since then.
Well, that's what David Culley thought a year ago, which I hope, they've got to have a little more consistency there.
David Culley should have never lost his job. But that's neither here nor there. I'm tapped out. Do you have another one, Mark?
I have a couple quick ones.
Okay.
I kind of struggled to come up with – I just wanted to be honest about things that came to me. And these could
sure.
be – let's see. This will all happen by week four. We will be deluged with a controversy that becomes known as Bountygate 2.0.
Oh, no.
That's a problem.
That's going to be annoying.
Okay. Say, you got to save some of these for the sandwich props before the
Oh, these are different. These are different. Erica Tamposi will become a national figure of interest when, during the Rams' 30-22 victory over the Niners on Monday Night Football in Week 4, she rips across the field during the third quarter to tackle a burly male streaker.
Whoa, that would be a great hero moment.
So, security. She's on security for the Rams?
She just feels it's in her purview and abilities to take this guy out, unclothed man.
People would love that. People, I think, would find that
I think they would.
Exciting.
Right. They might find out later that it was all set up previously to make Erica a national figure by Erica's own power. I'm not sure about that one. This one, I always feel weather
We'll be
things.
At Rams camp next Friday, by the way.
Yes, and we'll see. We'll see her.
We'll see Ricky Hollywood.
Unless
we'll get her on mic if she can.
Right.
She's not busy tackling drunk strangers.
Right. Well, no, that will happen in week four. One NFL game will be postponed by week four by either A, an earthquake. I've mentioned that before because I really feel that it's one of those things might be happening a year or two later. Or B, if not an earthquake, a highly unusual weather event involving birds turning on humans. One NFL coach will be fired by week four due to a scandal involving MDMA and secret raids.
It's just Sessler's greatest hits right now.
No, these are just
the coach fired through scandal, the natural disaster, the person running on the field. What else we got?
I nailed it last year.
We got kids attacking people earlier in the episode. Now it's birds.
That's happening in our society.
It's like, the Rolling Stones, they play the hits. They're going to play Satisfaction, Start Me Up, Shelter.
Save some for, I guess, it's endless.
This is the last one.
We're enjoying them, by the way.
I understand. Learning to really lean into it. Kyler Murray introduces a new end zone celebration where he pretends to sit on a chair, like on an air chair, right? While flipping through a book and screaming, "Independently study this, bitches."
Ooh, I like that. Should do that.
He just leans into it.
I really liked his yoga pose. I feel like that actually is one of the most underrated touchdown celebrations going the last few years. And if he pivots to something like this, that would be exciting.
Yes.
You know what would be kind of cool, too, just to show that he's got more edge now and he's pumped up? He could start in the yoga pose, and then when the Fox runs in with the camera guy, he explodes like Mark Wahlberg in Fear. He's like, "Let me in the f***ing house." The house is the end zone. I feel like that. The culture reference is a little dated, But it might cause some of the, again, the Zoomers out there to be like, what is he referencing? All of a sudden, Fear is number one streaming on Netflix. Hmm.
It's a good strategy for Netflix.
And apparently,
well,
the yoga pose was a nod to Baby Yoda in Star Wars. So I'm sounding like a boomer, not really even understanding what the reference was.
It was? Dan doesn't understand that either.
Baby Yoga?
Baby Yoda. It was always doing that little pose.
Oh, he's doing that thing.
What a
Digger. Oh, yeah, Digger.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, you've got one.
You have one, I thought.
I do have one. Mark asked me to come up with one when we were doing the text thread on
yes,
this.
Yes, Sean, we see you on camera.
Poor Sean.
Mark, you asked for a Titans prediction, but to honor the segment, I honestly, like, fearlessly cannot. I'm distracted by what's happening behind me. I can't fearlessly predict something about the Titans because it fills me with fear that I'll either be right or wrong.
Right. Okay. It has to be fearless.
Okay.
Right.
It doesn't have to be Titans. Let's go.
So I have a Colts one, and this tracks with the Houston prediction too. I say Colts start 1-3. Mm-hmm. First four games at Houston, at Jacksonville, versus Kansas City, and then against the Titans at home. You know, those division games are always tougher than you think. Houston, Jacksonville. Greg says Houston can beat the Colts. So, you know what's crazy is the Colts have started 1-3 twice in Frank Reich's four-year career. They're kind of a team that gets better as the season goes on. Okay. Do you guys know the last time the Colts won their Week 1 game?
Oh, wow.
2009.
Andrew Luck's rookie year.
2013. Andrew Luck's second year in the league.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Man, that's random. But that is true that Reich, including with Luck, has started slow a few times. And last year, they certainly had to dig out of a hole.
You have the 0-3 in the division potentially out of the gate.
I don't know how fearless it is to have a host of a Titans podcast predicting doom for their arch rivals. That doesn't strike me as fearless. That's like, you know, me, you know, picking on the Jets or something like
sure.
that.
It's pretty good, though, because everybody thinks – you know, the Colts were a winning team last year, even as badly as things ended. And a lot of people think they could be, you know, in the driver's seat in that division. So.
Well, they're acting like Jesus has returned with Matt Ryan's play so far.
I believe they are the Vegas favorites.
They are the
Not
Vegas favorites.
Not by a ton, but they are the favorites over the Titans.
The implied odds there, if you, like, convert the plus, minus, whatever, to implied odds, it's like 55% for the Colts, 35% for the Titans, which is kind of a big difference.
That's pretty disrespectful.
Bigger than you'd expect,
That's
at least.
Good nug there, the Gravedigger. Before we sign off, good seg. We're all done, right?
Yeah.
Developing news here out of Buffalo Bills training camp. Nothing too concerning. Don't get worried, Bills fans. But Greg, this is one of your making the leap candidates. Elena Getzenberg reports Josh Allen went to the ground after Ed Oliver ended up near his legs on a play. Allen got right back up, but Sean McDermott immediately kicked Oliver off the field.
Okay.
Do not dive at the kid's legs.
Okay.
Not that kid.
It sounds like everyone's healthy, though.
Yes.
Does
Josh
this
Allen,
concern you, Greg,
Ed
from
Oliver.
A making the leap perspective?
I thought
in the doghouse, Ed Oliver goes.
I thought Ed Oliver was maybe going to get injured during this, so I'm happy that everyone's healthy, but he has learned a lesson the hard way.
Do not go near the kid.
No, you may not keep practicing in 95-degree heat with pads on against other 300-pound men. You will be punished.
Very good. Hey, one last thing before we go. I had an idea. It might be a bad idea, but the good thing about this idea is that if it turns out to be a terrible idea, it will just be something that we won't go on. It won't – moving forward, it will never be brought up again. Mm.
It's kind of like that that segment we did a few times with Baker Mayfield. Shoot, I wish I had remembered.
What is Greg talking about?
You've lost me.
Launching him into the sun?
No, this offseason we were doing the spotlight, you know. Someone's spotlight.
Wait.
We could edit all this.
I know, but
please.
We nailed that.
That was a home run sag.
I know, but then it went away. We never heard about it. We can't even remember the name right now. What's it called?
Well, you described it so poorly.
Yeah, I did.
That it was Flashpoint. It was the Flashpoint
series. Focus.
Yeah.
It's going to go away like Flashpoint Focus.
To this. Oh, that was a bad segment, Greg?
It was such a home run.
You always say the right thing.
We just did like two of them, and then they were gone, never to be heard again.
Greg, do you remember that whenever we flashpointed someone,
right,
within a fortnight, they were the centerpiece of NFL
news?
And
you don't force it.
Right. Yeah.
There wasn't a flashpoint that really came into focus for us, and the world moves on. But trust me, the Flashpoint will be back.
Okay, it'll be
when
back.
It's never gone anywhere. It never went away.
Right.
It's just waiting. It's like a cobra waiting to strike.
I was just noting that I think it had two appearances, and it hasn't been mentioned since.
Well, because you kind of took the L because you thought it was going to be a bad seg, and then it was a good seg. And then just because we went away from it, you thought, oh, I got the W. That's gone.
Right. It was a runaway hit from another POV.
It was like a
POV.
Huge hit.
Right.
Just go back and listen to all of our
episodes. I mean, a crystal ball of sorts.
If you're just joining us in camp.
This is what I want to do. Listeners, we have an assignment for you. Gravedigger, you can help fill in the details. The Washington Commanders, you know, they got a lot of branding work to do because they're not the Redskins anymore. They changed their name. They're now the Commanders. Everyone knows the famous fight song, Hail to the Redskins, also now irrelevant. It's defunct. They eschew it.
Put that record back on the shelf.
Put it on the shelf. Now we still have the music of the song, which sounds like this. I think this is it. Yeah, it sounds right. Gravedigger, yes. what are the Commanders asking their fans to do?
So basically, they put out a tweet. They're going to change the lyrics to their fight song, obviously, because the name of the fight song was their old mascot. And they just put out two options where they changed the line that used to be hail to the word, the offensive mascot. Now they have two other options.
So uncomfortable.
Fight for our commanders is one of them, which will be said twice, or leaders on a mission.
But you gotta say in context. Say the four lines around it.
Hail to the commanders. Hail victory. Fight for our commanders. Fight for old DC.
Okay, now do the other one.
Hail to the commanders. Hail victory. Leaders on a mission. Fight for old DC. So it's either fight for our commanders or leaders on a mission. But I don't know. Neither of those are great options to me.
Why isn't it getting ready to take command? Like that, they've been cultivating that for months.
We're trying to maybe sometime take command.
How'd they lock in as those are the only two options? They both are non-pleasing
to
the
ear. Ron Rivera said he liked leaders on a mission. I think that just is strange.
I would just repeat
commanders a couple times. Yeah.
Just take command. Yeah. Well, I was going to say if the listeners wanted to submit a song with their own lyrics, maybe it'll be better than what they're trying to get.
Tap into the creative resources of the fan base.
Yes. If you get your creative juices flowing, Gravedigger, if you could send somewhere, whether it's on Twitter or on the subreddit or whatever, give them the bed music. And then write your own lyrics to the song. Stay within it melodically. Take it easy with some of the certain things. Use some discretion because you understand we can't play if you go all in on certain figures. Not to protect certain figures, but we can't play things about certain figures if you go too on the nose with it. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? I think so.
Well, I believe you're maybe referring to the owner who spent 12 hours being deposed by United States Congress on Thursday. That's just a factual statement.
You can include facts, of course, but just stay within reason or we're not going to be able to use it, even if it's tremendous. So keep that in mind. Those are the guardrails. Listen, you have to operate within the guardrails that we have to operate within if you're going to be on our airwaves. But send in something. Graver, what's our Gmail?
theatnpodcast@gmail.com.
What's going on in that? When you go into that mailbox right now, what sort of action's happening?
I have never checked it.
Say it again
for everyone.
theatnpodcast@gmail.com.
Now, I don't want every song version to include this because then it would be too repetitive. But personally, I probably will give a little extra pop if you can seamlessly weave in maybe we're trying to start to...
As we all know, excited to really go ahead and start to take command.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say...
You can somehow work that in a fun way.
I'm glad you said
good.
It, but also we didn't have to say it. I hope not, because you understand what we're looking for. That's what's important to us. That needs to be a major part of the rebranding. So if you could find a way to work that in, either with that sound drop itself or within the lyrics, those both work.
What are they going to do when someone, you know, listening to the show creates a better... option than they've
offered. We'll send it along.
Right. You never know.
If we can, if we feel like we could send it along without getting fired, we will send it along. And if it's just funny, we'll play it on the show, and that will be that.
That's a great...
Unless it goes too far, again,
great future for
if
us.
You go off the guardrails, we'll listen to it privately and maybe chuckle, but then you won't hear it and the listeners won't
hear
it.
Or it's so good that they make it the song.
Right,
and
that's
like,
what I'm saying. There's, the ceiling is high, potentially.
This is a team that, frankly, hasn't gotten or deserved much positive media coverage in a while.
Right.
What a way to change the narrative than align with us, align with the song. It's a happy, feel-good story.
Why is this the idea coming from our show? This should have been their idea.
But give they
people,
need,
oh,
they
choose
need some
between
help
these
sometimes.
Two lines. No!
A lot of commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
Working in anything from Joe Theismann helps as well.
Well, the Pentagon angled, I guess that's where they were going with leaders.
If the Pentagon is not in your
song,
Pentagon. I will not
support
it.
Give me a break with the Pentagon business. Every time with them, like, lauding the Pentagon.
Mark hates the Pentagon.
No, it just looks like the guy, go in a different direction.
Listen, I know a lot of unsavory things happen in the Pentagon. It is the home of our defense center, essentially, of this nation and our armed forces. But the fact that you're so defiant about it, it strikes me as funny. And Greg, I know, agrees.
I'm having a weird day.
All right. We'll be back. Big week next week. Connor Orr, Team Slogans, will join us Tuesday. And then we're at Rams camp on Friday. Thank you for listening. We're back. Till next week. Heed the call!
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.